I'm Master at Life and Weight Loss Coach, Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how.
Hey, hey, welcome back. Let's talk about intentionally slowing down, because I think a lot of times, anytime we're moving towards a goal, we often have a thought or a belief around, I need to hurry up and get there. We can feel really motivated and excited at times, and so we're ready to take action, and sometimes a lot of it. And we can also feel like in this kind of hyper-productive society that if we're not constantly moving forward, that somehow we're missing out. It's going to take us longer to get where we need to go. That slowing down is failure. That slowing down is a bad thing. And sometimes we need it, not just because of natural hormonal cycles in our bodies, but because of what we might be processing through in terms of relationships, careers, trauma, things from your childhood. There's all different reasons as to why our nervous system may be wanting us to slow down. And I can see this with clients, and I can see it in my own life of trying to process and work through something really big. And I know I've alluded to grief a lot recently, and sadness, and just different changes in relationships and dynamics. And I promise those podcasts are coming soon. So many ideas. I'm just trying to organize everything. But in processing the grief and the loss, there's also processing a lot of betrayal. And there's betrayal, but now there's also the aftermath of now having to do with some other subsequent things. So it feels like a lot. There's been a lot of emotions the last month. Yeah, probably roughly the last month. And things have changed drastically. And so this doesn't have to be a problem, but I want to have a lot of compassion and curiosity for myself and for what's going on, for what I'm going through. And so I noticed last week, last Friday night, I was so tired. There were things that I could be doing. There were things I felt like I probably should be doing. And yet I just felt exhausted. And it was maybe 4:35 in the evening on a Friday night, no plans, didn't have to go anywhere, be anywhere, really didn't have any responsibilities. But often those are the times when I feel like I need to be the most productive. It's times when I want to go out with friends or I want to get more work done. And I was drained. I was zapped. And I decided I needed to lay on my bed and watch a little TV. And I just needed to watch some, reruns of Friends. I wanted something that was fun, that would make me laugh, but would just help me to relax. And by allowing myself to do that, I did that for maybe an hour and a half. And then I actually got to work. And I actually did some things then Friday night. So it wasn't like the whole night was lost, but I was also prepared of I might just need to take a break. Because with all of the mental, emotional processing that we're doing, when we start to recognize and really see things for what they are, it takes a toll on ourselves. And sometimes we're grieving a relationship. Sometimes it's a person that may have died. It might be we're grieving the loss of a job. We're grieving the loss of a career. It could be the loss of I've talked about money in terms of we can grieve the loss of an investment. It can be anything really. And I think in the past, actually, I have talked about grieving the loss of a potential move. So there was one time when we were set to move to San Diego and I was so excited. It had been on my bucket list for years to move there. And I was like, oh my gosh, God is finally providing a way. Once I released and detached from wanting to move there and I'd like totally forgot about it, He's now making a way for us to go there. This is so amazing. And then there were some delays and then some more delays and then it was canceled. And there was grief. There was a lot of sadness. There was loss of the hope of what I thought I was going to have and where I thought I was going to live and this dream that I thought I was going to be fulfilling. So we can have grief. We can experience grief in a lot of different ways. And by giving myself that permission to feel that and to be sad and to mourn the loss and of that dream coming true, at least for right then, it allowed me to make a better decision later in the weekend. And there was still grief. There was still sadness. There was still disappointment. There were still things that came up even a few days later. but I was able to more clearly and consciously focus on, okay, here's the next step. Here's what I want next. Out of these three options, here's where I would like to move. But we can be processing anytime we're processing big change. So if we are changing jobs, if we're changing states, if we're moving houses, and a lot of times if we're moving like bigger communities, if we're moving out of state, if we're moving out of the country, if we're moving back, things like that, there's a lot that our brain is having to do, and there's a lot that it has to process and make sense of. And so there are going to be times when we need to slow down. And I'm trying to remember now if this was a podcast. I know I've talked about it in my email list before, of like the willingness to slow down will speed you up. It's that willingness to go slow. And sometimes that's what we need, is to slow down. It doesn't mean that I'm not doing anything, but I am slowing down. And today I've noticed it. And it's also dreary out, like it's rainy and cool. And while I love this type of weather, I also really like it when I don't have anything to do, when I don't have anywhere to be, when I can just really like hibernate at home. And again, there's only so much of that I can do, but it coming right now, I feel like the timing is really good. And it's going to be a very low-key, chill weekend with the little man. We'll watch some movies. We'll probably try to get some time outside, or maybe go to the trampoline park, let him burn off some energy, because like I know he's going to have it. But also knowing that with a lot of recent travel, a lot of recent trauma, a lot of recent epiphanies, and this deeper level of awareness, like my mentally, emotionally, and then with my nervous system, like my body's just a little bit spent. It's been rocked in some really deep ways. And I know that I will recover, and I know that I will be stronger for it. But I also know that I need to slow down a little bit here. So that looks like going back to my baseline and really focusing on, okay, what's the number one most important personal task or personal action that I have to do today, or that I want to do today? What's the number one most important business task? And keeping it really simple. And then my baseline of healthy habits of, I'm going to eat when I'm hungry, stop when I'm satisfied. I'm going to make sure there's vegetables at lunch and dinner. It's kind of have a plan. And so I made a plan for dinner, and I'm giving myself options. I'm going to drink a lot of water. So it's like I'm sticking with this baseline of habits. And then I'm really focusing on, okay, what's the one business task? What's the one personal task? And so right now there is one personal task that kind of encompasses two parts. And so right now I have to look at, okay, what's the first domino that needs to get knocked over that's going to make the rest of this clear and make it easier to do and easier to accomplish? And to some extent, these two are so interrelated and tangled, it's hard to pull one from the other. So I'm going to end up doing these two kind of in tandem, because there's going to be a little bit on like project one and then a little bit on project two. So that way I can go back to project one and finish certain pieces, then go back to project two, right? They're going to play into each other, and that's okay. And that's all right. So just looking at, okay, this is what I want to achieve, and being really clear and specific on, here's the result I want to have done by 5 o'clock today. And then with a business task, okay, here's the one result I want to have done by 5 o'clock. And knowing that I have plenty of time, that there are other appointments and meetings and classes and things that are on my schedule, but I have plenty of time to get this done. I'm not in a rush, but I'm just going to be really aware of when I want to put something off, or when I want to avoid it, when I want to procrastinate. And know that it's just this one, and it's going to be a little bit slower. So I'm going to look at what needs to get done, what would I really like to achieve and create, but also let other things wait until next week, and really truly know what is urgent and what's not. And that is helping me really inform, okay, here's where I want to go. Here's what I want to do. My other thought too is knowing that the day, like this week, I've been tired. I've wanted naps in the afternoon. Like it's not just today that this is hitting me. Like it's been a week of like really needing to slow down a little bit, and also being willing to now potentially reach out to a babysitter and say, hey, can you come play with the little guy? Come watch Caleb for me. And I'm going to go spend 2 hours working or getting this other thing done. So there's nothing wrong with just exploring other options and looking at what works best for you and your schedule. And sometimes that's going to mean taking a break at night or on the weekend. Sometimes it means something else. I already have a movie picked out for tonight. probably won't finish it, probably have to watch it over two nights, not a problem. But I'm already planning and looking forward to some of the calm and the relaxation. And with this movie, like, it's an adult movie, right? Like, one that my son's not going to watch, because I know we're going to be watching more kid movies during the day. So also making sure I get in some adult time. And one of the things that's come up for me this week has also been like this sense of community and people and interaction. I would consider myself like an introvert at heart because I like time by myself to recover and recoup and restore. But I also really enjoy social engagements. I love public speaking. So I would say I'm probably a more extroverted introvert. An introvert doesn't mean that you're shy. It denotes how you like to recover, or like how you restore and replenish your energy. And for me, a lot of times that is going to be by myself, alone, or just with one other person. Like, it's very small. But I still like people. I am still pretty people-y. And I enjoy spending time with people. And one of the things that's come up is, okay, if I'm not dating, if I'm not going to like speed dating events, where am I getting my social interaction in? And noticing how I feel like I haven't been as social lately. And there's been a lot of good reasons for that. But because of that, I am also like, I'm getting ads for dating apps and dating events. And I'm like, that could be fun. Oh, like, I could go to Nashville for a speed dating event. That would be fun. And also knowing, no, I'm not ready for that. I don't want that. I'm not ready to date. You know, just really being clear though on what's drawing me to that. What is attracting me to that? And part of it too is just the social aspect of knowing when my nervous system needs to slow down, when I can't be doing work, but also what else it's craving. And sometimes it is community, friendship, connection. Sometimes it is people. To some extent, like, it is something having to do with other people. Just being aware of and in tune with yourself. What are your patterns? Everything is so nuanced. There is no one size fits all. There's no one blanket, right? No one way is going to solve any one problem. We, like, this is big thing that I teach is, like, everybody, we've got to find our own unique way. And so we want to look at, what are your specific challenges? What are your specific tendencies? What do you already know about yourself? And how can you continue to strengthen that to figure out how to move forward and heal and like progress in the future? So that's a lot of what I'm going to be doing. And I notice it. It's not just the weather. I think sometimes there can be like there may be seasonal depression, or there may be other things seasonally that you deal with. And that's good to be aware of too, if it's like a longer thing. But anytime that it is around a traumatic event, experience, big, heavy emotions, loss, if you maybe you're going through a period of sadness or depression or loneliness, really just having so much love and empathy and compassion for yourself. And it's that willingness, that giving yourself time to slow down will actually speed you up. It will get you where you want to go faster, not because we're trying to. It's not, okay, let me take a break because this is how I'm supposed to do it, or I'm supposed to get my big grand ideas or this big burst of energy afterwards. We're not expecting anything. We have to be aware of when we're going into it with this expectant or entitled attitude of what should happen immediately because of it. But when we go into it just knowing, okay, might feel like I'm slowing down a little bit, and that's okay. I'm not a robot. I can't go 24/7. And it's more important to process what I'm going through right now. That way I can move forward and be stronger, healthier, and at a capacity where I can handle other things. I don't know. I just got inspired to share this message. So figured, let's just run with it. And that's how a lot of these are coming out. But if you want to talk more about working together and what it would look like to have a life and health coach to help process through trauma and emotions, to help you with habits like emotional eating, binge drinking, these sorts of things, like, this is what we really need to be able to decode and move forward. And a lot of times it's that habit is coming up because we are unwilling or unwanting to face other things in our lives. And that's what I will help you do, is to not make it so big and scary. It's not this like boogeyman in the closet. It's not this giant monster hiding under the bed. It really is just often a younger, smaller version of you that wants to feel safe, heard, seen, valued, appreciated. And when we can really get to the heart of it and not be afraid of our emotions, that's when we can find the change that we want. So if you'd some help with that, I'd love to chat. You can schedule a free consultation at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule. All right. Have a wonderful week. I will see y'all next time.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.